Welcome back to A Closer Look. Good Monday afternoon. I'm Dennis O'Hare with Jim Burris, filling in for Rose Scott, who has a few days off. The water wars continue, and Florida and Georgia are duking it out now in the U.S. Supreme Court. The idea, does Georgia use too much water, water that would have flowed to Florida? And, of course, right in the bullseye is Metro Atlanta and how much water we use for drinking and other things. A few months ago, the U.S. Supreme Court decided to accept Florida's petition for relief. In other words, Florida asking the Supreme Court, hey, you need to step in and limit how much water Georgia takes from what's called the Apalachicola-Chattahoochee-Flint River Basin, otherwise called the ACF. Well, now Georgia's filed a response, and the legal war is on again. Gil Rogers is a senior attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center here in Atlanta. He specializes in water resource use. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Dennis. Happy to be here.
And we should say at the outset, you're not involved in this case at this point anyway.
I'm not. We have a very strong interest in making sure that this river system gets managed based on good science and to ensure that there's enough clean water flowing throughout it to meet all the varying competing needs.
So let's catch up a little bit. Somebody listening might say, hey, wait a minute. Didn't we have a big fight over Lake Lanier and whether Georgia can use Lake Lanier? And it went all through several levels of the federal courts and Georgia won. So what's happening now? Is this a rehash of that battle or is this something different?
This is something different, although it is related. That battle was very narrowly focused on the question of what purposes Lake Lanier was authorized for when Congress created the budget and the statute that allowed Lanier to be built. The question there was specifically, was water supply one of the authorized purposes of Lake Lanier? And as a result of several rounds of court battles, the final answer to that question is yes, Lake Lanier is authorized for water supply.
So Florida lost that round, and what it did was come back and say to the courts, okay, you all, we're not going to argue about Lanier one way or the other, but however Georgia gets the water, it's using too much. Is this basically it?
That's basically it. The Apalachicola Bay, which lies at the bottom of this river basin, has experienced a collapse in its prized oyster industry over the past few years, and Florida is contending that at least part of the reason for that collapse is that it's not getting enough water, fresh water coming down the river system from Georgia, and that Georgia is overusing and overexploiting the resource before it crosses the state line.
In other words, Florida's saying, okay, our oyster industry's in trouble, and we think it's because it's not getting enough water, and the reason it's not getting enough water is it's Georgia's fault.
Essentially, in a nutshell, yes.
Not to oversimplify too much, but So the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to take this case. Was this a big surprise?
It was a little bit of a surprise that the court did not at least delay deciding whether to take the case, because what's happening at the same time all this is going on is that the Army Corps of Engineers manages a series of dams on the Chattahoochee River, starting with Lake Lanier and going all the way down the system. Ultimately, the dam that flows in, that controls the flow into Florida. And the Corps right now is revising its protocol for managing those dams. And there was some thought that the court would wait to render a decision about whether to take the case until the Corps had finished doing that work.
Yeah, in other words, the court would wait to see whether Florida still had the same problem.
Exactly.
Once the Corps finished revising its rules.
Correct.
Okay. But the court didn't wait for that. And it took this case on. Florida filed its complaint. Georgia has now filed its answer. One of the things that struck me in reading it was this thing gets almost into an Alice in Wonderland sort of thing, almost into saying, okay, Florida says this river starts here. Georgia says, no, it doesn't. It starts here because it's not a river until that point. I mean, it really gets a little surreal, doesn't it?
That's a pretty interesting part of Georgia's answer. They actually deny that the Flint River and the Chattahoochee River meet at the bottom to form the Apalachicola River, which is the natural course of these rivers. Part of the reason it seems like they're doing that is to try to establish that there is a Corps of Engineers dam that now separates those river systems, and that is a key part of one of Georgia's defenses.
And for folks who are familiar with South Georgia, that's Lake Seminole, right?
That's Lake Seminole, and that's Jim Woodruff Dam that eventually empties into the Apalachicola River.
So Georgia's saying the Apalachicola River doesn't really start with the Chattahoochee and the Flint. It actually starts with Lake Seminole, and so the Corps controls all this.
Georgia is saying that the Apalachicola River starts with the Corps' actions in that dam coming out of Lake Seminole.
And Florida is saying, oh, no, it doesn't. It starts when those two rivers come together to form the Apalachicola, and therefore Georgia's use of those rivers directly affects us.
And that's the way most people, I think of that river system.
A few months ago, I did an interview with Georgia Attorney General Sam Olens, and he said one of the state's defenses he predicted would be, well, Florida hasn't done anything to help itself. And is that, in fact, what's happened? Is that what Georgia is alleging here?
That is what Georgia is alleging. And the idea is that Florida, according to Georgia, Florida is not blameless in the condition of the Apalachicola Bay. And therefore, Florida has to clean up its own act before it can go point fingers at other potential causes of any problems down there.
Generally speaking, is that often a successful defense? I'm not asking you to predict what the court will rule here, but is that something that works sometimes, where one party in any kind of lawsuit says, okay, you're accusing me of this, but you haven't done anything for yourself?
It's a little bit more complex than that. I mean, all of these states that lie along this river system, and Alabama is also one of the three states that's not part of the lawsuit right now, all of them have complex water management systems. All of them right now are underfunding their environmental protection agencies. We've seen a big drop in budgets over particularly the last 10 years. And so it's hard for any state, I think, right now to say we are completely squeaky clean. But it is something that the court might consider as it's looking at how to fairly allocate these waters and who deserves what.
All of these arguments then went to what's called a special master, which is somebody that the Supreme Court kind of appoints to be like a case manager almost, really.
Right. Sort of a referee calling the plays before that the final product is delivered up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is free to accept or reject any recommendations that the special master makes.
And in the last couple of weeks, the special master has pretty much told both sides, get your arguments together, get in gear here, almost, you know, sort of kicking them in the tail end. Is that something that usually happens in cases like this?
Usually cases like this do not move very quickly. Frankly, the nature of the complexity of the river systems, the data that's involved, the evidence that needs to be gathered, just takes a long time to sift through. So at least an order of years, if not longer than that. And it remains to be seen whether this case will move faster. We've heard talk out of representatives from Georgia and, of course, from the special master himself that he wants things to move along. But we'll just have to see. I think even under a best-case scenario, we're not going to get a resolution super quickly. And, of course, even a pronouncement from the Supreme Court is not going to completely wipe out this decades-long conflict over these river systems.
Why not? I mean, everybody thinks, you know, those of us without a legal education might think, oh, the Supreme Court's the final word here.
It may be the final word here right now, but this is not a static system. The needs are going to be changing. Georgia is going to be continuing to grow in different parts of these river systems. The stresses on the rivers may change over time. And so And we've seen this in other cases. You'll have disputed rivers that come up to the Supreme Court every few decades, particularly out west. So as much as we would like to get a, quote, final word, it's probably not going to come from the Supreme Court. Ultimately, it's going to have to be the states and all of these users of the river systems coming together and settling on some kind of fair formula that allows for all these competing needs to be harmonized and allows for enough water to remain in these systems for them to be healthy.
So why not negotiate now? If you're going to end up negotiating anyway, why not do it now and spare yourself the trouble and expense of a Supreme Court case?
There are negotiations that have been going on throughout all these conflicts. Some of them have been happening at the top levels of the states. Some of them have been happening more at the water user level, just the different types of users coming together and talking. I think ultimately that kind of process, if it's transparent and inclusive, is probably the best way to go. But we have three Republican governors right now, if you count Alabama. And, of course, Georgia and Florida have Republican governors, and they were not able to come to an agreement. This kind of issue transcends party politics.
But as Sam Olens pointed out when I talked to him, all three of them are now in their second terms. So at least individually, they don't have a political risk in maybe making some compromises that might anger folks in their own states, which I think most people agree is probably what's going to have to happen. So why can't they sit down? Why haven't they?
These are just very difficult problems. You're essentially asking each state, how much water do you think you need? And no state wants to draw the line and say, this is all the water I'm ever going to need. There's just no political upside to that. And we've seen, you know, multiple governors throughout the past decades go through first and second terms and have on and off conversations about what to do about this river. So I don't think it matters as much that these governors are in their second terms. Maybe that will provoke some discussion that hasn't happened to date. But, you know, we've seen it up to now, and it hasn't come to pass.
As a final thought, let's take a look at what Florida is asking for, and let's assume for the moment they get it. What they're demanding is a decree, as they say, equitably apportioning the waters of this river basin. So is there anything to say what equitable is? And Florida actually wants a cap on Georgia's uses going back to the early 90s. That's before a whole lot of people were even here.
Right. I don't think we can ignore the reality that there are all these people up here in metro Atlanta, which is up at the top of these river basins. And remember, the Flint River Basin is part of this as well. The Flint River literally
starts in Atlanta.
It starts underneath the Atlanta airport. Literally. So you're talking about a river system that is stressed from day one. And there's no question that Georgia and Metro Atlanta need to do better at managing their water resources from the top of the basin to the bottom, not just our metro water use, but agricultural water use, industrial water use. The equitable apportionment context can be a way to force that to happen. It also may be that the court just ends up saying, we're going to set a number for the flow volume down at the Florida state line in Georgia. You just have to figure out for yourself how to meet that number. We're not going to tell you how to do it. So it's not clear yet how active the court is going to be in dictating where the changes might need to come if it in fact rules for Florida.
So it's possible the court might not say, as we saw in the earlier round of lawsuits, you just can't use this as your source of drinking water. It's unlikely that they would go that far, do you think?
The court could go into that much detail, but it's more likely that they may just say, we decide that this is how much water needs to flow into Florida, and then leave it at that, leave it to Georgia to come up with a solution.
Obviously, this is a case involving Atlanta particularly and Georgia in general as well, but aren't there other places that are going to be watching this very closely?
Atlanta is not alone in being, if you know the history of Atlanta, it was not a city that was founded on the availability of water resources. It was founded because of the intersection of rail lines. And so as we've grown despite the fact that there really isn't a whole lot of naturally available water up here. And we're not alone in that. A lot of the cities in the southeast along the Piedmont, like Raleigh-Durham, Charlotte, Greenville-Spartanburg, some of those areas that are experiencing growth now, don't have a lot of water at their disposal. And I think we really need to look hard at how this region is growing and where it's growing and do a better job at matching that growth on the front end to where the water is. I think that would help a conflict like the ACF conflict. I don't know that it would completely solve it because there are other stresses on these rivers beyond Metro Atlanta. But we just need to keep pushing our leadership to do better, promoting water conservation, water efficiency across all different kinds of water uses to get us, to be better stewards of this river system.
Would a defense for Georgia be that, hey, look, we are already doing a lot more than Florida is when it comes to conservation? We've made some major steps, particularly in Metro Atlanta, when it comes to conservation, and is that a defense against a claim like Florida's?
That's not a defense that Georgia has formally raised. That may come out in the special master process. The reality is that Georgia has come up with a lot of water plans over the years. They have some conservation measures on the books. We think they need to go much further in terms of actually funding those, seeing them through to implementation. And a lot of these plans are sitting gathering dust on shelves. They're not helping Georgia manage water better. Florida has long been looked at as a regional leader in water management, going all the way back to the 60s and 70s. But recently, Florida has seen, as I said before, a drop in its budgeting for environmental protection and managing water. So, again, none of these states are doing an ideal job of managing the system. So it's going to be a hard, a hard mess to wade through.
Makes it tougher for the court.
That's right.
Gil Rogers is a senior attorney for the Southern Environmental Law Center here in Atlanta. Thanks so much for being with us and for catching us up, and I'm sure we'll be checking back with you.
Thank you, Dennis. My pleasure.